Excerpt from a local newspaper. Ominous unknown killer still at large. After weeks of an unexplained murders, the ominous unknown killer is still on the rise. After little evidence has been found, a young boy states that he has survived one of the killer's attacks and bravely tells his story. "I had a bad dream, and I woke up in the middle of the night," says the boy. "I saw that for some reason the window was open, even though I remember it being closed before I went to bed. I got up and shut it. Afterwards, I simply crawled under my covers and tried to get back to sleep. That's when I had a strange feeling like someone was watching me. I looked up and nearly jumped out of my bed. There, and the little ray of light illuminating from between my curtains were a pair of two eyes. These weren't regular eyes. They were dark, ominous eyes. They were bordered in black and just plain out terrified me. That's when I saw his mouth. A long, horrendous smile that made every hair on my body stand up. The figure stood there, watching me. Finally, after what seemed like forever, he said a simple phrase, but said it in a way that only a madman could speak. He said, 'Go to sleep.' I let out a scream. That's what sent me at him. He pulled up a knife, aiming at my heart. He jumped on top of my bed. I fought back. I kicked. I punched. I rolled around, trying to knock him off me desperately. That's when my dad busted in. The man threw the knife. It went right into my dad's shoulder. The man probably could have finished me off if one of the neighbors hadn't alerted the police. I drove into the parking lot and ran towards the door. The man turned and ran down the hallway. I heard a smash like glass breaking. As I came out of my room, I saw that the window that was pointing towards the back of the house was broken. I looked out to see him vanish into the distance. I can tell you one thing. I will never forget that face. Those cold, evil eyes. That psychotic smile. They will never leave my head. Police are still on the look for this man. If you see anyone that fits the description in this story, please contact your local police department. Jeff and his family had just moved into a new neighborhood. His dad had gotten a promotion at work, and they thought it would be best to live in one of those fancy neighborhoods. Jeff and his brother, Lou, couldn't complain, though. A new, better house, what was not to love? As they were getting unpacked, one of their neighbors came by. "Hello," she said. "I'm Barbara. I live across the street from you. Well, I just wanted to introduce myself and to introduce my son." She turns around and calls her son over. "Billy, these are the new neighbors." Billy said hi and ran back to play in his yard. "Well," said Jeff's mom, "I'm Margaret. This is my husband, Peter, and my two sons, Jeff and Lou." They each introduced themselves, and then Barbara invited them to her son's birthday. Jeff and his brother were about to object when their mother said that they would love to. When Jeff and his family were done packing, Jeff went up to his mom. "Mom, why did you invite us to some kid's party? If you haven't noticed, I'm not some dumb kid." "Jeff," his mother said, "we just moved here. We should show that we want to spend time with our neighbors. Now, we're going to that party, and that's final." Jeff started to talk, but stopped himself, knowing that he couldn't do anything. Whenever his mom said something, it was final. He walked up to his room and plopped down on his bed. He sat there looking at his ceiling when suddenly he got a weird feeling. Not so much a pain, but a weird feeling. He dismissed it as just some random feeling. He heard his mother call him down to get his stuff, and he walked down to go get it. The next day, Jeff walked down the stairs to get breakfast and got ready for school. As he sat there, eating his breakfast, he once again got that feeling. This time it was stronger. It gave him a slight tugging pain, but he once again dismissed it. As he and Lou finished breakfast, they walked down to the bus stop. They sat there waiting for the bus, and then all of a sudden, some kid on a skateboard jumped over them, only inches above their laps. They both jumped back in surprise. "Hey, what the hell?" The kid landed and turned back to them. He kicked his skateboard up and caught it in his hands. The kid seems to be about 12, 1 year younger than Jeff. He wears an Aeropostale shirt and ripped blue jeans. "Well, well, well. It looks like we got some new meat." Suddenly, two other kids appeared. One was super skinny, and the other was huge. "Well, since you're new here, I'd like to introduce ourselves. Over there is Keith." Jeff and Lou looked over to the skinny kid. He had a dopey face that you would expect a sidekick to have. "And he's Troy." They looked over at the fat kid. Talk about a tub of lard. This kid looked like he hadn't exercised since he was crawling. "And I," said the first kid, "am Randy. Now, for all the kids in this neighborhood, there is a small price for bus fare, if you catch my drift." Lou stood up, ready to punch the lights out of this kid's eyes, when one of his friends pulled a knife on him. "I had hoped you would be more cooperative, but it seems we must do this the hard way." The kid walked up to Lou and took his wallet out of his pocket. Jeff got that feeling again. Now it was truly strong, a burning sensation. He stood up, but Lou gestured to sit down. Jeff ignored him and walked up to the kid. "Listen here, you little punk. Get back my bro's wallet or else." Randy put the wallet in his pocket and pulled out his own knife. "Oh, and what will you do?" Just as he finished his sentence, Jeff popped the kid in the nose. As Randy reached for his face, Jeff grabbed the kid's wrist and broke it. Randy screamed and Jeff grabbed the knife from his hand. Troy and Keith rushed Jeff, but Jeff was too quick. He threw Randy to the ground. Keith lashed out at him, but Jeff ducked and stabbed the kid in the arm. Keith dropped his knife and fell to the ground, screaming. Troy rushed him too, but Jeff didn't even need the knife. He punched Troy straight in the stomach, and Troy went down. As he fell, he puked all over. Lou could do nothing but look in amazement at Jeff. "Jeff, how did you..." That was all he said. They saw the bus coming and knew that they'd be blamed for the whole thing, so they started running as fast as they could. As they ran, they looked back and saw the bus driver rushing over to Randy and the others. As Jeff and Lou made it to school, they didn't dare tell what happened. All they did was sit and listen. Lou just thought of that as his brother beating up a few kids, but Jeff knew it was more. It was something scary. As he got that feeling, he felt how powerful it was, the urge to just hurt someone. He didn't like how it sounded, but he couldn't help feeling happy. He felt that strange feeling go away and stay away for the entire day of school. Even as he walked home, due to the whole thing near the bus stop and how now he probably wouldn't be taking the bus anymore, he felt happy. When he got home, his parents asked him how his day was, and he said in a somewhat ominous voice, "It was a wonderful day." Next morning, he heard a knock at his front door. He walked down to find two police officers at the door, his mother looking back at him with an angry look. "Jeff, these officers tell me that you attacked three kids, that it wasn't a regular fighting, that they were stabbed. Stabbed, son." Jeff's gaze fell to the floor, showing his mother that it was true. "Mom, they were the ones who pulled the knives on me and Lou." "Son," said one of the cops, We found 3 kids, 2 stabbed, 1 having a bruise on his stomach, and we have witnesses proving that you fled the scene. Now, what does that tell us? Jeff knew it was no use. He could say him and Lou had been attacked, but there was no proof. It was not them who attacked first. They couldn't say that they weren't fleeing the scene of the crime because, truth be told, they were. So Jeff couldn't defend himself or Lou. Son, call down your brother. Jeff couldn't do it, since it was him who beat up all those kids. Sir, it was me. I was the one who beat up those kids. Lou tried to hold me back, but he couldn't stop me. The cop looked at his partner, and they both nodded. Well, kid, looks like it'll be a year in juvie. Wait, says Lou. They all looked up, seeing him holding a knife. The officers pulled their guns and locked them on Lou. It was me. I beat up those little punks. Have the marks to prove it. He lifted up his sleeves to reveal cuts and bruises, as if he was in a struggle. Son, put the knife down now, said the officer. Lou held up the knife and dropped it to the ground. He put his hands up and walked over to the cops. No, Lou, it was me. I did it. Jeff had tears streaming down his face. Huh, poor bro. Trying to take the blame for what I did. Well, take me away. The police led Lou to the patrol car. Lou, tell them it was me. Tell them. I was the one who beat up those kids. Jeff's mother put her hands on his shoulders. Jeff, please, you don't have to lie. We know it's Lou. You can stop. Jeff watched helplessly as the cop car speeds off with Lou inside. A few minutes later, Jeff's dad pulled into the driveway, seeing Jeff's face and knowing something was wrong. Son, what is it? Jeff couldn't answer. His vocal cords were strained from crying. Instead, Jeff's mother walked over to his father and broke the bad news to him as Jeff wept in the driveway. After an hour or so, Jeff walked back to the house, seeing that his parents are both shocked, sad, and disappointed. He couldn't look at them. He couldn't see how they thought of Lou when it was all his fault. He just went to sleep, trying to get the whole thing off of his mind. 2 days went by with no word from Lou at the JDC. No friends to hang out with, nothing but sadness and guilt. That is, until Saturday, when Jeff was woken up by his mother with a happy, sunshiny face. Jeff, it's the day, she said as she opened up the curtains to let light flood into the room. What? What's today? Asked Jeff as he stirs awake. Why, it's Billy's birthday party. He was now fully awake. Mom, you're joking, right? You don't expect me to go to some kid's party after... There was a long pause. Jeff, we both know what happened. I think this party could be the thing that brightens up the past days. Now, get dressed. Jeff's mother walked out of the room and downstairs to get ready herself. He fought himself to get up. He picked out a random shirt and a pair of jeans. He walked down the stairs. He saw his mother and father all dressed up. His mother in a dress and his father in a suit. He thought, why did they ever wear such fancy clothes to a kid's party? Son, that's all you're gonna wear? Jeff's mom said. Better than wearing too much, he said. His mother pushed down the feeling to yell at him and hit it with a smile. Now, Jeff, we may be overdressed, but this is how you go if you want to make an impression, said his father. Jeff grunted and went back up to his room. I don't have any fancy clothes, he yelled down the stairs. Just pick out something, called his mother. He looked around in his closet for what he could call fancy. He found a pair of black dress pants that he had for special occasions and an undershirt. He couldn't find a shirt to go with it, though. He looked around and only found striped and patterned shirts, none of which would go with the dress pants. Finally, he found a white hoodie and put it on. You're wearing that? They both said. His mother looked at her watch. Oh, no time to change. Let's just go, she said, As she hurried Jeff and his father out the door, they crossed the street over to Barbara and Billy's house. They knocked on the door, and at it appeared that Barbara, just like his parents, was way overdressed. As they walked inside, all Jeff could see were adults, no kids. "The kids are out in the yard, Jeff. How about you go and meet some of them?" said Barbara. Jeff walked outside to a yard full of kids. They were running around in weird cowboy costumes and shooting each other with plastic guns. "You might as well be standing in a Toys R Us." Suddenly, a kid came up to him and handed him a toy gun and a hat. "Hey, wanna play?" he said. "No, kid, I'm way too old for this stuff." The kid looked at him with a weird puppy dog face. "Please?" said the kid. "Fine," said Jeff. He put on the hat and started to pretend to shoot at the kids. At first, he thought it was totally ridiculous, but then he started to have actually a little bit of fun. It might not have been cool or anything, but it was the first time he had done something to take his mind off of Lou, so he played with the kids for a while, until he heard a noise, a weird rolling noise, and it hit him. Randy, Troy, and Keith all jumped over the fence on their skateboards. Jeff dropped the fake gun and ripped off the hat. Randy looked at Jeff with burning hatred. "Hello, Jeff, is it?" he said. "We have some unfinished business." Jeff saw his bruised nose. "I think we're even. I beat the crap out of you, and you got my brother sent to JDC. Randy got an angry look in his eyes. "Oh no, I don't go for even. I go for winning. You may have kicked our asses that one day, but not today." As he said that, Randy pushed at Jeff. They both fell to the ground. Randy punched Jeff in the nose, and Jeff grabbed him by the ears and headbutted him. Jeff pushed Randy off of him, and both rose to their feet. Kids were screaming. Parents were running out of the house. Troy and Keith both pulled guns out of their pockets. "No one interrupts or guts will fly," they said. Randy pulled the knife on Jeff and stabbed it into his shoulder. Jeff screamed and fell to his knees. Randy started kicking him in the face. After three kicks, Jeff grabbed his foot and twisted it. It caused Randy to fall to the ground. Jeff stood up and walked towards the back door. Troy grabbed him. "Need some help?" He picks up Jeff by the back of the collar and throws him to the patio door. As Jeff tries to stand, he is kicked down to the ground. Randy repeatedly starts kicking Jeff until he starts to cough up blood. "Come on, Jeff, fight me." He picks up Jeff and throws him into the kitchen. Randy sees a bottle of vodka on the counter and smashes the glass over Jeff's head. "Fight!" He throws Jeff back into the living room. "Come on, Jeff, look at me." Jeff glances up, his face riddled with blood. "I was the one who got your brother sent to JDC, and now you're just gonna sit there and let him rot in there for a whole year? You should be ashamed." Jeff starts to get up. "Oh, finally, you stand and fight." Jeff is now on his feet, blood and vodka on his face. Once again, Jeff gets that strange feeling. The one in which he hasn't felt for a while. "Finally he's up," says Randy as he runs at Jeff. That's when it happens. Something inside Jeff snaps. His psyche is destroyed. All rational thinking is gone. All he can do is kill. He grabs Randy and pile drives him into the ground. He gets on top of him and punches him straight in the heart. The punch causes Randy's heart to stop. As Randy gasps for air, Jeff hammers down on him, punch after punch. Blood gushes from Randy's body until he takes one final breath and dies. Everyone is looking at Jeff now. The parents, the crying kids, even Troy and Keith. Although they easily break from their gaze and point their guns at Jeff, Jeff sees the guns trained on him and runs for the stairs. As he runs, Troy and Keith let fire on him, each shooting and missing. Jeff runs up the stairs, hears Troy and Keith follow up behind. As they let out their final rounds of bullets, Jeff ducks into the bathroom. He grabs the towel rack and rips it off the wall. Troy and Keith race in, knives ready. Troy swings his knife at Jeff, who backs away and bangs the towel rack into Troy's face. Troy goes down hard, and now all that's left is Keith. He is more agile than Troy, though. He ducks when Jeff swings the towel rack. He dropped the knife and grabbed Jeff by the neck. He pushed him into the wall. A tub of bleach fell down on top of them from the top shelf. It burnt both of them. They both started to scream. Jeff wiped his eyes as best as he could. He pulled back the towel rack and swung it straight into Keith's head. As he lay there, bleeding, he let out an ominous smile. "What's so funny?" asked Jeff. Keith pulled out a lighter and switched it on. "What's funny," he said, "is that you're covered in bleach and alcohol." Jeff's eyes widened as Keith threw the lighter at him. As soon as the flame made contact with him, the flames ignited the alcohol and the vodka. While the alcohol burned him, the bleach bleached his skin. Jeff let out a terrible screech as he caught on fire. He tried to whirl out the fire, but it was no use. The alcohol made him a walking inferno. He ran down the hall, fell down the stairs. Everyone started to scream as they saw Jeff, now a man on fire, dropped to the ground, nearly dead. The last thing Jeff saw was his mother and other parents trying to extinguish the flames. That's when he passed out. When Jeff woke, he had a cast wrapped around his face. He couldn't see anything, but he felt a cast on his shoulder and stitches all over his body. He tried to stand up, but he realized that there was some tube in his arm, and when he tried to get up, it fell out, and a nurse rushed in. "I don't think you can get out of bed just yet," she said as she put him back in his bed and reinserted the tube. Jeff sat there with no vision, no idea of his surroundings. Finally, after hours, he heard his mother. "Honey, are you okay?" she asked. Jeff couldn't answer, though. His face was covered, and he was unable to speak. "Oh, honey, I have great news. After all the witnesses told the police that Randy confessed to trying to attack you, they decided to let Lou go." This made Jeff almost bolt up, stopping halfway, remembering the tube coming out of his arm. "He'll be out by tomorrow, and then you two will be able to be together again." Jeff's mother hugs Jeff and says her goodbyes. The next couple of weeks were those where Jeff was visited by his family. Then came the day where his bandages were to be removed. His family were all there to see it, what he would look like. As the doctors unwrapped the bandages from Jeff's face, everyone was on the edge of their seats. They waited until the last bandage holding the cover of his face was almost removed. "Let's hope for the best," said the doctor. He quickly pulls the cloth, letting the rest fall from Jeff's face. Jeff's mother screams at the sight of his face. Lou and Jeff's dad were awestruck. "What? What happened to my face?" Jeff said. He rushed out of the bed and ran to the bathroom. He looked in the mirror and saw the cause of the stress, his face. It was horrible. His lips were burnt into a deep shade of red. His face was turned into a pure white color, and his hair singed from brown to black. He slowly put his hand on his face. It had a sort of leathery feel to it. He looked back at his family, and then back at the mirror. "Jeff," Lou said, "it's not that bad." "Not that bad?" said Jeff. "It's perfect." His family were equally surprised. Jeff started laughing uncontrollably. His parents noticed that his left eye and hand were twitching.
Jeff, are you okay?"
"Okay. I've never felt more happy. Look at me. His face goes perfectly with me." He couldn't stop laughing. He stroked his face, feeling it, looking at it in the mirror. Oh, what caused this? Well, you may recall that when Jeff was fighting Randy, something in his mind his sanity snapped. Now he was left as a crazy killing machine. That is, his parents didn't know, though.
Doctor? Said Jeff's mom. Is my son all right? You know, in the head?
Yes. His behavior is typical for patients that have taken very large amount of painkillers. If his behavior doesn't change in a few weeks, bring him back here and we'll give him a psychological test.
Oh, thank you, doctor.
Jeff's mother went over to Jeff.
Jeff, sweetie, it's time to go.
Jeff looks away from the mirror, his face still formed into a crazy smile.
Okay, mommy.
His mother took him by the shoulder and took him to get his clothes. This is what he came in with, said the lady at the desk. Jeff's mom looked down to see the black dress pants and white hoodie her son wore. Now they were clean of blood and stitched back together. Jeff's mother led him to his room and made him put on his clothes. Then they left, not knowing that this was their final day of life. Later that night, Jeff's mother woke up to a sound coming from the bathroom. Slowly walked over to see what it was. When she looked into the bathroom, she saw a horrendous sight. Jeff had taken a knife and carved a smile into his cheeks.
Jeff, what are you doing?
Asked his mother. Jeff looked over to his mother. I couldn't keep smiling, Mommy. It hurt after a while. Now I can smile forever. Jeff's mother noticed his eyes ringed in black.
Jeff, your eyes.
His eyes were seemingly never closing. I couldn't see my face. I got tired, and my eyes started to close. I burned off my eyelashes. I burned out the eyelids so I could forever see myself, my new face. Jeff's mother slowly started to back away, seeing that her son was going insane. What's wrong, Mommy? Aren't I beautiful?
Yes, son, she said. You are. Let me go get your father and so he can see your face.
She ran into the room and shook Jeff's dad from his sleep.
Honey, go get the gun, we...
She stopped as she saw Jeff in the doorway holding a knife. Mommy, you lied. That's the last thing they hear as Jeff rushes them with the knife, gutting them both. His brother Lou woke up, startled by the noise. He didn't hear anything else, so he just shut his eyes and tried to go back to sleep. As he was on the border of slumber, he got the strangest feeling that someone was watching him. He looked up before Jeff's hand covered his mouth. He slowly raised the knife, ready to plunge it into Lou. Lou thrashed, trying desperately to escape Jeff's grip.
Shh.